This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Police have arrested two men in connection with the search for the Washington, D.C. area sniper. The two were found sleeping in a car at a rest stop along Interstate 70 near Frederick, Maryland. That's about an hour northwest of Washington, D.C. Police have not said the men are suspects in the shootings that have killed 10 and wounded 3. But they described one of the men as armed and dangerous and said he is wanted on a federal firearms violation. NPR's Larry Abramson and Pam Fessler join me now. Good morning.
Morning. Morning, Bob.
Larry, how did the police find these two?
Well, the immediate connection is that police issued an alert for a 1990 Chevy Caprice. And incidentally, this is a car fitting one of the descriptions from one of the murder scenes. But there are many other connections that they've been able to draw before they got the license plate number that they handed out to people last night. And within hours, somebody spotted a car fitting this description at the rest stop that you mentioned. Somebody saw the car, they called the police, came out and made an arrest. And as we've just seen, they spent the last 7 hours securing this vehicle, putting it in a trailer, and they're taking it down to Montgomery County, Maryland to do a very thorough search on it. Of course, the big question is, you know, is there a gun in there? We really don't know. Police Chief Charles Moose said late last night that he was looking for one of the men who was arrested, John Allen Williams, in connection with a federal firearms violation. And the younger man he was traveling with, a juvenile believed to be 17 years old, named Lee Malvo, is believed to be Williams' stepson. We haven't heard that he's facing any charges. And right now, that's most of what we know as far as what the police have told us.
And Pam, what do you know about these two?
Well, we're starting to pull together a few details of their lives. John Allen Mohammed is a Muslim convert. His name used to be John Allen Williams. He changed it last year. It appears that he has lived in many places around the country. He's moved around quite a bit. He is believed to be the father of 4 children from 2 different wives and has had some serious custody battles with those wives. As Larry said, Malvo's been described as a stepson, but we're not 100% sure what their relationship is. Mohammed spent quite a bit of time in Tacoma, Washington. Former neighbors and associates there describe him as fairly quiet, but one of his former associates, a man named Felix Strozer, said that he opened a karate school with Mohammed in Tacoma in the late 1990s, and that Mohammed left him with quite a debt. And John Lee Malvo appears to have been a student at Bellingham High School for a very short period of time in 2001, and officials said there that they looked into his background and they were not able to find very much about where he had come from.
Police searched a house in Tacoma last night.
Right. As I said, that Mohammed and Malvo lived in Tacoma. Actually, Mohammed was there from 1994 to 2000. We're not sure how long they were at this particular house, but it appears that there was rifle practice in the backyard. The officials were looking clearly for some type of evidence of this these practices, and neighbors in the area said that they often heard gunshots in the area.
Has anything been said about these men having any connection with a terrorist group?
Well, this morning we just had a news conference from the police chief of Bellingham, Washington, which is about 90 miles north of Seattle. And as I said, that's where Malvo attended high school. And this is what the police chief, Randy Carroll, had to say about that particular point.
I just got off the phone with the FBI, and I can tell you that in relation to the case, it appears that these people are that have been taken into custody are not acting as with any group or with any organized group of people. It appears that they are and have acted on their own.
Right, that's the police chief in Bellingham, Washington. There may or may not be a connection also with Montgomery, Alabama, Larry.
That's right. There's another murder there that was connected by somebody who called the tip line, and this is a person who's claiming to be the sniper. This person called in and basically was trying to get, according to some police sources that have leaked this to news organizations, he was trying to get police to take him a little bit more seriously and saying, well, if you want to know, you know, that I really am who I say I am, check with police in Montgomery. And this is Montgomery, Alabama, not Montgomery County, Maryland. Police decided to check around, see if there were any unsolved murders there. And lo and behold, there were there was a robbery outside of a liquor store that in which really no money was taken. Somebody was shot and killed. Another person was wounded, and a magazine was left behind there that, according to some reports, may have had John Malvo's fingerprint on it. Now, there were some reports at one point that the same caliber of weapon was used in that shooting as has been used in the sniper attacks. Police have denied that. This was apparently a handgun used in that killing, not a long gun as has been used in the sniper attacks. It was a 22 caliber as opposed to a 223 rifle round. But we do have this person calling in and linking these crimes, so that's the first thing that police are going to have to check on, and the first thing that seems to have forced them to make this connection to Malvo and to Mohammed.
Now, what are investigators going to need to link these two to the shootings here in the Washington, D.C. area, in the Richmond, Virginia area?
Well, some of the evidence we know that they have, of course, has just emerged in the last few days, and that is police have acknowledged, basically, that they received a note at the scene of Saturday's shooting in Ashland, Virginia. That this is one of the first communications that we know about in which the shooter actually made demands, may have asked for $10 million, may have asked that that be wired into a credit card account. The slayer also left a note outside the scene of Tuesday's shooting in Montgomery County, Maryland, in which some of these demands were reiterated. So police will be checking those documents, those pieces of paper, for fingerprints, for handwriting samples, for use of language. The Washington Post reports today that they went through the first note and didn't find any fingerprints, which would indicate that this person was being very careful not to leave fingerprints, or even DNA could be found. They also have been apparently getting voice samples from the telephone calls that this person has been making to the tip line. If they record those, they may be able to establish a link between these guys. And finally, perhaps the most important thing, of course, is the forensic evidence that points to a certain weapon. They found bullets at, I believe, every scene, and casings at a couple of scenes that they can later use to trace this back to the gun. This is assuming that they actually find a gun either in this car or you know, somewhere else that it was in the possession of these people. But there's a lot of linking to be done here, Bob, to go beyond an arrest and actually get not just to putting somebody in jail, but to convicting them and making sure that this sticks in court.
There's been speculation all along that the shooter might have a military background, and Pam, John Allen Muhammad, or John Allen Williams, does indeed have a military background.
That's right, Bob. He was stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington during the 1980s. He served in the Gulf War. And then he was later stationed at Fort Hood in California. Right now, we don't have any particular evidence that he was trained as a sniper, but we do know that he, from neighbors and friends, that he did express some anti-American sentiments. He was also seemed to be interested in security. He, according to one neighbor, served and provided security for the Million Man March here in Washington a couple of years ago.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
NPR's Pam Fessler and Larry Abramson.